can't believe we've actually been recording so many episodes this year. And I suppose we got the lockdown to thank for that.
Well, it's one good thing that might have come out of it for us. I don't know about our listeners. So what is this, 36? Yeah, 36. Episode 36.
And are we... are our stats still increasing? Or are they steady?
They're going up in that people are listening to us. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe we could make this one the most listened to episode of the year. How about that, dear listeners?
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are. Welcome to the last Host Unknown podcast of the year that shall forever be known as 2020. That's all you need to say, just 2020, and people know exactly, oh, I've had a bit of a 2020 moment, you know, or, God, this week's been a bit of a 2020. Do you know what I mean? Just, oh, my God. But this is the last one, so your suffering is nearly at an end, folks.
You know, this will be great for opticians. It'll be like, if you've seen The Dictator, the movie with Sacha Baron Cohen, and he replaced a whole bunch of words in the beginning with Aladdin, his name.
Aladdin, yeah, yeah.
So even the words yes and or positive and negative were replaced with Aladdin. So there's someone at the doctor and he goes, "You are HIV Aladdin," and he smiles and then he gets sad. Then he smiles and he gets sad because he's not sure what it means. So I can just imagine in the future, like going by your logic, people are going to go to the opticians and they're going to say, "Your vision is 2020."
You go, "Yes, oh no, no, yes, yes, no." Oh, dear. Anyway, how are you, Jav, apart from watching Sacha Baron Cohen movies recently?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Glad that this is the last thing of the week. I could do with a break from you guys for a few weeks. And I'm sure our listeners can too as well. So it's a win-win, as our Chinese spy from TikTok would say.
Very good. Hello, Atty, how would you like to follow up that xenophobic piece of dialogue?
No, I will just agree with Jav in that it'll be good to take a break from you guys. I only speak to you once a week anyway, but I'm just done.
Yeah.
Stick a fork in me.
Although before Tom joined, Andy, you and I were discussing about how ever since Tom's got a job, the chat group has been blissfully quiet because he's actually working.
Just no content this week. I had to generate all this content on my own. I'm just like, there's nothing in the chat.
Blissfully quiet. You are always telling me how much I never take part in the chat. I come back and there's 72 messages and I think, oh, this should be interesting. And then I'm deeply disappointed when I get to the end of all 72 messages. It's just utter rot. Utter rot.
And yet you send it on to other groups and sort of claim credit for being down with the kids, right?
Well, yeah, obviously. Obviously. I send unique content to you guys as well. I scrape the very best of Reddit.
Oh, my God. Next year, Tom's going to take a leaf out of someone's book and like start scraping content from Reddit, posting on Twitter under the guise that this is his own original content. I'm waiting for you to be in a coffee shop hearing some people being rude to a waiter, and so you've got to register their domain name before they do, Tom.
Yeah, that's right. Host unknown. Fuckers, I'm going to register. Hostunknown.com. No, I'm not, because that's about a grand. Let's do something cheaper. Oh, dear me. Yes, I will I will change my name to Khalil Langford.
So how is the new job going, Tom?
It's good. It's good. There's a lot to do, obviously. I'm writing some content for the website and et cetera. I just had a meeting this morning with the European team about some events and things for next year, which looks pretty busy. They probably just off the top of their heads knocked out about 25, 30 events they want me to take part in. First one is the week after next on the 23rd of December, which is marvellous. I'm hosting or moderating a panel to do with cyber warfare. So best start reading a book, I think.
Clearly we need Bob Geldof to intervene because they do not know it's Christmas time. Like, why would you do a webinar on the 23rd of December?
Because it's the Middle East.
Well, clearly they do not know it's Christmas time.
There you go. Still, you know, it's always nice to contribute to, you know, to the grand scheme of things. But yeah, Jav, you've just been doing your end of year report. You've done a whole bunch of work this year.
Yes, I have.
He doesn't want to give any spoilers away because he's saving it in his back pocket for review day.
Yeah. No, I was quite surprised. I've written like 79 blogs this year. Don't ask me about the quality of them. Just there were 79 of them.
Yeah. Did you just write blogs 79 times?
Well, so the rest of us call them defacements, but you know, you go on.
Look, a tweet can be construed as a blog, can't it?
It's a micro
blog.
Oh, dear me. Right, let's get cracking, shall we? Last show of the year. We don't want to overrun too much. What have we got for this week? We obviously have our not-so-new This Week in InfoSec, Tweet of the Week, Billy Big Balls, Rant of the Week, Industry News, which is that from our regular Stig this
still
week?
The regular Stig. This is last content.
Yeah, next week is his is their last week, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not going to be working in his last week though, is he? Come on, let's be honest.
Well, he's barely worked this week, so will we have a little people today? Ooh. Maybe. Let's see what Jav can pull out of his bag, as it were, out of Santa's little sack. What can you produce for us for the little people today? We're also going to have a look back at some of the notable events of the year, because we're nothing if not topical and informative. So, yes, that's what we've got. Excited, folks?
Very.
Can't wait.
Oh dear, in which case I reckon we should go straight on to
This Week in InfoSec.
Love the jingle.
Yeah, so this is the part of the show where we take a little stroll down memory lane. We liberate content from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account, and for the second week running, I am feeling a little bit disappointed in that there was only really one story worth bringing up, so I had to go out and find my own story for the second one.
What's the point in liberating content if you have to go and find your own as well?
I know, exactly, right? I mean, I'll have a word with the guy. I'm going to say that there's no point in me stealing stuff from you when you're not doing the work.
Yeah. Can you recommend anybody else I can steal from?
Exactly. Who did you steal from? Like, where's this breakdown in the chain? So this is quite a funny one to end the year with. So obviously, the Host Unknown podcast has seen a new lease of life in 2020. Not many other things saw a lease of life, but the podcast did. If you recall back to our very first podcast, it was 5 years ago. And we brought you a story about a certain Mr. Troy Hunt leaving Microsoft. He had finally given up his job and was going out on his own. And so topically...
He didn't work for Microsoft.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
No, he was a Microsoft MVP, but he worked elsewhere for an insurance company or something. I think there's a difference.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sure he worked at Microsoft. Troy, we know you're listening. Can you just, you know, tweet us or ping us or, you know, just let
clarify.
Us know.
Yeah,
just clarify. Just, so,
it was
just
5 years
Jav
ago. Okay.
Wrong. Yeah. Just prove Jav wrong. That's all we're asking.
It was 5 years ago. We talked about this. Although, Jav, you should probably know because I'm pretty sure that there's a video of you sort of picking him up and driving him around in your old
down. We had a fantastic day. I took him to East London. We went to Ilford, had a brilliant curry.
You must have had a real crick in your neck at the end of that day. He's like 6'6" and you're 4'3".
You know what? It's a permanent fixture of my neck. I mean, like...
You've got a triangular-shaped vertebrae to make sure you can look up.
Yeah, so anyway, I mean, fortunately, that part, not that facts are a big part of the show anyway, but whether or not he left Microsoft in 2015 or left his
Pfizer.
Own company.
He used to work for Pfizer.
Right, okay.
And so, he was a Microsoft MVP because he was in that region. But yeah, he worked at Pfizer. And I suppose if he had stock there, he'd be pretty stupid now because their stock's going through the roof with the vaccine. Anyway, sorry, please. Carry on.
Well, anyway, so we clarified that part. Anyway, the point of this one, the part we are highlighting here is it was actually the 5th of December 2013. So 7 years ago, Troy Hunt launched the site Have I Been Pwned? And so mere 7 years ago at launch, he had passwords from Adobe, Stratfor, Gawker, Yahoo, Voices, and the Sony Pictures breaches indexed. So quite a good little bulk of stuff to start with. And as of today, 7 years later, he has got nearly 11 billion compromised accounts indexed, in that area. So I'm sure most people are familiar with Have I Been Pwned. It's merely 7 years old.
Wow. I can't actually believe, I'm surprised it's 7 years. I would have thought it's like 3 or 4 years, but
yeah.
I think it's like hat tip to Troy for keeping something going for that long. You know, you see so many things in InfoSec, especially they come, they're a flash in the pan. A couple of years later, it's gone. But I think it's dedication to what you're doing, and I think it does bring it has brought a lot of value to a lot of people. So I think it's well done, Mr. Hunt.
When we look at this thing that he's got. Nearly 11 billion compromised accounts, or the details of 11 billion compromised accounts. All I can do is picture him sitting in his secret rocket base in Mount Uluru with a cat on his lap, stroking it and cackling because he's got 11 billion compromised accounts.
Yeah, no, I don't think of him like that at all. I just think he's a guy sitting behind a computer providing a service. But okay.
Oh, that's dull. Come on.
Well, mostly on his speedboat these days, isn't he? He's not...
True. Did he win that on Bullseye?
Yes. Here's what you could have won. That's what he came to the UK for, to pick up that one from that family in Yorkshire that
didn't need it anymore. For our international listeners, sorry, you might have to look that one up.
Yeah. So anyway, the next story we have. So 7 years old. Congratulations, Mr. Hunt. Moving on to story two, and this is a mere 3 days ago. So this is the story that I came up with. This week in InfoSec, FireEye, a well-known security firm, announced that they had experienced a security incident that involved the theft of the FireEye Red Team tools.
I remember when this happened.
Yeah. I mean, quite a big story at the time. So the evidence suggests that the compromise may have been carried out by Russian nation state threat actors with top tier offensive capabilities. And this is per the blog post announcing the hack authored by the FireEye CEO, Ken Mandia. So they are sort of saying that it looks as though the attackers were interested in the details of FireEye customers, that specifically the government agencies. And obviously the FBI have been called in to assist with the investigation, as they always are in these things. But just credit on FireEye for this one. So we have been working with them. We've got some interests going on at the moment. And they've been very transparent about everything, that they've not sort of gone into a room and said, hey, look, we'll come back to you. They've been very open, sort of talked through where they are and, ongoing works. So, yeah, mere 3 days ago, but I'm pretty sure this will be mentioned in years to come. So this time next year, we shall cover it again.
They have done a really good job, I have to say. Very, very transparent and open. And I think also what's interesting is the rest of the industry rallying around them rather than pointing fingers and laughing.
Yeah, and I think it makes a difference, though, when you are transparent, though, doesn't it? It's a very different vibe. Straight away, you get people on site, and you can really control the narrative a lot better.
That's it. I also think it's one of those things that, it only dawned, when I was at AlienVault and I worked a lot with the research team or got to know some of them a lot better, and some of them were telling me that, threats against researchers are a very real thing. And, companies like FireEye, they are very much in that high profile area. So even people like Krebs, we've seen, like, he's been swatted or attempted to be swatted like several times. You know, people have sent him drugs and then sent the SWAT team after him and that kind of thing. So, you know, we joke about a lot of things in the industry and people doing stuff wrong, but I think people that are researching some of these big things, especially like nation states and what have you, you know, there is a fair amount of risk for the company and the individuals there. So it's even more important, I think, for that it's and reassuring to see people rallying behind them as opposed to trying to make another adding more stress to their life.
This week in InfoCert.
Thank you, Andy. You really were scraping the barrel there to get some additional content, weren't you? I was quite surprised at how short that was.
No, but think of it this way. Andy's now stacked this week in InfoSec for the next X amount of years, because in January we'll just look back at what we've done on this January and we'll repeat that.
Repeat the whole thing.
We didn't start till April, though, Jav.
Oh. Okay, you've got a few more. Financial year.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, dear. Right, Jav, I think it's time for you this time. What have we got for you? Oh, you're doing Tweet of the Week, aren't you?
Yes.
Tweet of the Week.
This week's Tweet of the Week is by Dennis the Trainer. Grazanio Dennis is his Twitter ID. Americans, I'm not getting the COVID vaccine. I don't trust what they put in it. Also, Americans, woohoo! The McRib is back.
For our American listeners, we're doing this. You know, we're laughing with you.
Yeah, there are plenty of Brits on this side of the pond that also aren't getting the vaccine or they don't trust what's in it. So, but I think when you play to stereotypes, it just makes it look funny.
Also, Americans are 20% of our audience, so let's not completely remove them.
Let's cater.
Yeah, McRib, everything, brilliant.
So anyway, that was the sort of too good to let go tweet of the week.
I had a chat with somebody the other day who said, "Would you get the virus? You know, the new vaccine?" I said, "Yeah, of course I would." And he said, "Well, I don't know. I just don't like sort of putting things in me. I don't even like a paracetamol or whatever." I was like, "Seriously? You want smallpox back? You know, it's like, why would you not? You know?"
Oh, there's a brilliant trend on TikTok at the moment where people are sort of telling their family members they've had the vaccine. And then sort of twitching or, doing ticks and stuff. There's some hysterical ones about it. It's just so funny how people are so scared of this vaccine.
Yeah, whereas they'll take vaccines all other times, you know. Well, apart from the anti-vaxxers, of course.
Well, that's what's to say, you're not prepared to take this scientifically researched, scrutinized vaccine and put it in your body to save yourself, but you're prepared to pay, 40 quid for a gram of coke from some guy in the pub and snort that in the toilets.
That's it. But you know what? It's my mom was telling me, she was listening to the radio and some caller, they were talking about the vaccine, and someone called in who was, he was really old. He was like in his 90s. And he said that back in the 50s, I think, he said he was in school. And he remembers clearly that one of the teachers came in and they said that so-and-so kid won't be coming in because he's died of measles or something. Like, I think it was measles. Jeez. And, he's with the angels now or whatever. I think it was like a church school or something. And he goes, that really stuck with him because it was, a friend of his who he used to play with in the playground and he's now dead because of this disease. And then through his lifetime, he's seen the vaccines come, and to the point where it's completely eradicated, like measles and deaths from, all these preventable things.
Smallpox is gone,
polio, whatever. And so for him, he was like, I cannot fathom why people do not want to take the vaccine. He goes, it's a tried and tested sort of scientific method that has been going on, and it's made the world a lot better. Just through the course of his life, he said he's seen it become so much better. And he goes, in 50 autism, or 100.
You know, autism, Dev.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, but moving on.
Get a vaccine.
Insert disclaimer, we are not medical professionals. please do not use this podcast for medical advice. Always consult your doctor before taking any medication. Anyway,
including the vaccine,
So instead of doing a tweet of the week, I was going to just highlight who I think is the tweeter of the year. I know it sounds like now we're unofficially doing some awards or whatever, but it's not.
And we need to get a new jingle.
Yes, we do. I think we do.
But fortunately, only once a year.
It still costs the same amount.
So we shall use it every week.
Get our money's worth. It has got to be. It is someone who I've followed for a long time, and he's not even strictly about InfoSec. He covers a lot of Amazon Web Services. It is Corey Quinn. His Twitter ID is at QuinnyPig, QUINNYPIG. And his commentary on Amazon Web Services, especially last week when it was reInvent, absolutely had me in stitches, and it is just so factually correct but hilarious at the same time. He also does this newsletter called Last Week in AWS. It's worth subscribing to it if you're actually more interested in some of the technical details around some of the services and how you do some of your costings and what have you. Jesus, sounds like a sponsored spot. Tom, run the sponsor jingle for us when I get to the end of this.
Host Unknown, sponsored by
Last Week in AWS.
Last Week in AWS, Corey Quinn.
Yes.
At QuinnyPig.
So where did he get that idea from, the last week in AWS? He's obviously a listener of this show.
He is clearly. The love is mutual. Friend of the show. So things like, we'll put a link to some of his reInvent tweets in the show notes, but there's some things like, you know, and we're starting with an ad for Intel. Thanks to reInvent sponsor Prospectus, we know that an intro video for the keynote is a sponsor option that costs $175,000. But my sarcasm is free.
$175,000 plus the cost of making the video in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like on par with a lot of these big conferences. You know, RSA or Black Hat and what have you. So, you know. It's just the little quips he makes in between responding to people's comments during that. It's like, we have millions of customers, and that's why we've had the same three keep showing up on slides and in keynotes.
They're the only three that are willing to admit it.
Yeah. I used to believe that your child in pain was the worst sound you would ever hear. But then AWS named their custom trip Tranium.
Custom trip?
Yeah, it's some custom trip. I don't know. I'm just looking.
just saying the same thing again doesn't mean you're explaining it.
No, there's a slide in the picture where a person on stage and behind him there's AWS custom silicon.
So I think it's a typo. I think he meant to say chip.
Maybe.
Oh, yes, they did, yeah, because it says Tranium under that, under 2021. Tranium?
Tranium. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was my selection for Tweeter of the Year. Excusing his typos, go follow him. He's brilliant.
Okay, thank you very much.
Tweet of the Week.
Yeah.
What? See? Smooth.
We updated that. No problems. On the fly.
AI, ML, we have it all.
And the fact that we can shout louder than the jingle. Oh, dear, fascinating. I love actually the cost of these events that Ignite and RSA, it always astounds me how much it really does cost to get in front of that many people.
It's crazy.
And this was a virtual event.
This is a virtual. Oh God, yes, of course. Jeez, I wonder, what the how many attendees there were to the virtual event compared to normal. Because Ignite is definitely one of the big ones, isn't it?
Yeah,
Like tens of thousands. Is it bigger than RSA? I'm not sure. Probably. Who knows? Yeah. So
different audiences, though, isn't it?
Oh yeah, obviously, yeah, I know, but it's just, you know, just the scale of it. It's a bit like the Salesforce ones. They're about three times the size of RSA, and that's when they bring in cruise ships into San Francisco to act as hotels. Anyway, yeah.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast. More fun than a security vendor's briefing.
Virtual or otherwise.
True story.
Absolutely. Right, Andy, I think we're over to you now for this week's
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
Okay, so this is my Billy Big Balls of the Week. And although it's written by a scientist, there's a sort of link between the STEM and cybersecurity. And to me, this really applies to any, subject matter expert. And his take, so this is a guy called Marshall Shepard, and he's written an article sort of stating three reasons scientists endure social media trolls and attacks. And to me, this is, it's a great one. And he starts off by saying that obviously social media is an interesting place. It can be a repository of amazing information access. Yet at the same time, it's a cesspool of mean-spiritedness and, misinformation. But he's saying because, it's a place for credible experts to connect with others beyond the ivory towers. He tries to balance that against the fact that, it's also a place where people can get an audience whether they deserve it or not, not pointing to any particular presidents in particular. But so he's really answering the question, why do respected, published and admired scientists endure the trolling and attacks from faceless personas? And then he sort of comes up with three reasons based on his own experiences. And like I said, I think this relates to or can relate to a lot of people, because I often wonder, I came off social media a while ago, say for TikTok, which is just the best platform out there.
So says win-win.
But you go into the, you can just open Twitter and just see people arguing about nothing. You go to comments and it's frustrating sometimes. There's some really, really great people who've got some really good insights to part. And then there's others just want to argue for the sake of it. So this guy gives his three reasons. And he sort of says, number one, the reason he endures the hot mess that's social media is because it is an effective medium, for exposing, the broader public, media and policymakers to the real science. The vast majority of your friends on Facebook, are not scientific experts who are cracking open scientific journals or conference proceedings on a regular basis. Yet they do have an opinion on Twitter and Facebook, which they spread to the rest of their friends. So he's sort of really there to make sure that they engage in these spaces. Because as he says, if credible expertise is not in the fray, then pseudo-expertise and bad actors with agendas will gladly fill the voids.
You have to take the fight to them, basically.
You can't just stay
in your existing spheres of influence and expect them to engage there.
That's right. He's got something he calls McAlpine's Law, which says that pseudoscience will always try to fill vacuums in scientific knowledge, which I think
is
great.
Why is that McAlpine's Law?
Because it was a guy called Alistair McAlpine who wrote about it in a medical brief.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So, don't read too much into that.
Podcast, nobody looks too much into it.
Yeah, but, if you think back to the start of the pandemic, the amount of experts, who got their medical degree from Facebook, telling everyone else what they should and shouldn't be doing. Reason two is, beyond serving as an antidote to misinformation campaigns. He says it's really about the passion. People are passionate about what they do. They've been doing it since, a young age. They've spent a whole career trying to understand how things work. So he just wants the opportunity to share. you know, talk about stuff and just let everyone know about their passions, which I think is probably the reason most people started talking about particular topics on social media. It's just keeping that ego in check, as I'm sure you're aware, Jav, a struggle that you fight with on a regular basis. But then he does come up with, I know we love analogies, but his final reason is what he calls the boiled peanut incentive. And what he's talking about is how peanuts, which although messy and cumbersome to get into, once you're past the shell, he says the moist, slightly salty nut is being so worth the effort.
That's what she said.
Oh, and he also caveats this saying that the feeling could probably apply to crab lovers too. And so it's really, again, it comes back to the passion, as it works for the greater good, the advancement of knowledge, betterment of society and the future of his kids.
Worth the effort.
Yeah, and yeah, they're able to endure the internet shells to get to his ultimate prize. So not, I say not purely InfoSec, but I think applicable to many industries.
Yeah, and it is. It's why I come on this podcast every week.
Are you the pseudoscience part, the pseudo expertise?
I'm here to take the fight to the pseudoscience.
No, Jav is the hard, crusty shell.
I've got a funny thing to tell you quickly. Yesterday, someone on LinkedIn, I won't say their name because I don't want people like looking it up, but they announced that they were moving to another job. And someone I used to work with, who I love immensely, he's a brilliant guy, he commented on them saying, congratulations. And he goes, it'll be good to stay in touch because clearly he works at the same place that they work at. And I replied to his comment saying, ah, your words are hollow. You never keep in touch with ex-colleagues. And then I said, by the way, congratulations on the job to the original poster. And like, because me and him, we have this just banter going on all the time and what have you. Anyway, I make that comment, think nothing of it. I come back later and the original commenter had replied to my comment, basically tearing me a new one, saying, you know, how rude and inappropriate it is for you to bring your personal grievances onto a third person thread. You know, and highly unprofessional to air it in this space and like bloody, bloody, blah. And I'm like, holy shit, man. And then I look and there's like not just a like on that, it's a heart comment. And I click to see who it is. It's another person like loving that person's comment, saying that, yes, you go. You know, you tell this bully, like, you know, put him in his place.
And this person obviously did not know you at all.
No. So I was like, oh man, what do I do? So I replied saying, you know what? This is fantastic that you called it out. You should call out toxic behavior. I wish more people are like you. But you know, this is, maybe I should have added a smiley face. It's just an inside joke between me and my ex-colleague. And then I DM'd my ex-colleague on Twitter because, you know, he wasn't around on LinkedIn. I said, dude, you need to back me up here.
Bail me out. My parachute didn't open. Help, mayday, mayday.
And please tell me, he said, how much?
You know what? He thinks a bit like you two. And I would not have been surprised for him to have just piled on. No. I have no idea what you're talking about. No, thankfully he went on there and he cleared the air as well. But I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to leave LinkedIn. There's people probably sharpening their pitchforks ready to have a go at me. I think, you know, that's why I endure social media trolls and attacks. Look, Tom's looking it up now.
Okay, no need to put right yet.
Yep, that's the one. Yes, that's the one.
As thrilling as it is listening to someone read in their head.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Yeah, so anyway, do go on.
Then the original post said, sorry for the confusion, and we all lived happily ever after. But, you know, it was just touch and go there for a second because you just never know.
You saw your entire internet history flashing before your eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Cancel culture. I'm contacting your employer.
Yes.
Yeah. And when Jav sees his internet history flashing before our eyes, I think so do Andy and I, because they're somewhat intertwined. She's never good. Never good.
No.
Yeah, let's delete the WhatsApp chat up till today, shall we?
We have to do that every year anyway.
So. Every year? I have to do it every time Andy says something. Oh, dear. So that was your Billy Big Balls? No, it wasn't?
It was.
Oh, it was. Yeah, that was your Billy Big Balls. Okay, you're not going to do this other story then?
No.
Okay, in which case, we'll save that one for next year. And thank you, Andy, for this week's
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
So, Andy, have you got the time?
I do. It's that time of the week when we head over to our reliable sources over the InfoSec PA Newswire, who brings us the latest and greatest stories from around the globe.
It's this week's
industry news.
Hashtag Web Summit. Nick Clegg claims internet needs accountability, not rules.
Industry news.
Ransomware set for evolution in attack capabilities in 2021.
Industry news.
2020, the most vulnerable year yet.
Industry news.
Talos and Google Cloud partner for external encryption key management.
Industry news.
Hashtag BHEU. Collision of cyber communities creating tension and risk.
Industry news.
Hashtag BHEU. Focus on security fundamentals, not adversarial sophistication.
Industry news.
Data loss reports to ICO increase once again.
Industry news.
Hashtag BHEU. North Korea cyber offense strategy evolving to focus on international
industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Huge if true.
Huge if true.
Huge.
Javid's weekly stories.
Yes, so the real stories that you've all been waiting for. None of that low quality stuff from the Stig. So
at least you got the jingle right this time.
Yes. Nearly 3 in 10 workers are furloughed, feel less loyal to their employer post-furlough. Industry news. Business executives' logins sold on Russian hacking forum. Accounts can be used for BEC scams. Industry news. Power banks could infect your smartphone with malware. Industry news. Experts on Clop ransomware attacking retail giant Elan credential stuffing attack. Oh, no. Sorry, he didn't put a line in there. Industry news.
He'll read anything if you put it in front of him.
Credential stuffing attack targets Spotify, affecting more than 300,000 accounts. Industry news. South Korean retail giant Elan Retail suffers Clop ransomware attack. And that was this week's Javs.
Javid's weekly stories.
I see you're recycling your PR and media content for multiple sources on the same story.
What do you mean?
What, Elan retail suffers Clop ransomware attack twice?
Yeah, so I offer a comment and then different publications pick up the comment. So it's sometimes it's picked up multiple times. The experts on Clop ransomware, that's actually by the Information Security Buzz, where they just take anyone's comment and they'll put it into an article.
They'll take anyone's comment, will they?
Hey, didn't we used to write an article for them? Like, we had a regular column in there for a couple of years.
Yeah,
We had 3 articles, I think.
Yeah. So I'm looking at some of these stories. The business executive login sold on the Russian hacking forum. This is old news, isn't it? This was like a few weeks back. This goes
by when it's picked up and when the journalist decides to write that story. So if you look at that actual story date, that's from within the last week.
So if you're looking for old news, then you can just jump straight to Jav's industry news.
If you're looking for Russian news that might not be relevant, might not have all the details, then yes, don't come here. But if you're looking for well-researched, well-thought-out, with all the facts. None of this speculation that Tom offers.
What do you mean speculation? It's informed speculation. And also, I only speculate on things which I'm pretty damn sure are right.
Okay. Anyway, maybe InfoSec Buzz can return the favor of our three articles and sponsor us.
Indeed. In fact, why not?
Host Unknown. Sponsored by Insert
InfoSec Buzz News.com. Buzz. You know who you are.
Yes. Dr. Malik, isn't it? He's the one that was our contact.
Took over from Joe, wasn't it? Yeah, he took over from Joe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. You never liked that guy when he took over Joe's job, did you?
No, no relation.
Not the same.
Right, let's move on swiftly to this week's...
Rant of the Week.
Which is me... And it's about Apple. Woohoo!
Surprise.
So we know whose side I'm on here straight away.
So without even knowing what the story is.
Yeah. Apple's right. Basically, Cydia, who were the first people to create an app store back before Apple had an app store for the iPhone, back with the original iPhone, is suing Apple. So a new lawsuit brought by one of Apple's oldest foes seeks to force the iPhone maker to allow alternatives to the App Store, the latest in a growing number of cases that aim to curb the tech giant's power. So it would come as no surprise that I think this is utter bullshit.
I resisted going to an Apple for a very long time. What? Well, I just did, yeah, everyone, it was just, I don't know if you ever watched Star Trek, but the old Next Gen, there was this episode where everyone had this game that someone had picked up, and they were wearing it like a visor, and everyone was just addicted to it, and Wesley Crusher could see everyone else just sort of walking around mindlessly addicted to this thing. And for me, it was like that, you know, I had my Nokia N95, I was happy. But watching everyone around me getting these Apple iPhones, and I was like, man, what was going on? Like, you know, the battery life was horrendous compared to, you know, other phones on the market that also had a camera. And so I missed these early days. And, you know, the problem is I then got a free iPhone through work, and I've never looked back, unfortunately. Yeah. But
you licked the back of the case, which was covered in crack, and you were addicted to it.
Exactly, yeah. But, I've never... I didn't know about this old App Store. So, you know, I was never there in the early days.
Pre-App Store, which I think came in iOS 2, was it? Or iOS 3? I think it might have been 2 or 2.1, something like that. So pre then, you could... there was a whole subculture, and it still is, but I think it's certainly less prevalent, whole subculture of jailbreaking your iPhone so you could put other apps on it. Because... Mm-hmm. The original iPhone did not have a lot of stuff for it, in fairness. I mean, you know, you could download some games through iTunes, but they were pretty pants. So if you wanted anything different, you had to jailbreak your iPhone, which of course means removing all of the security controls, etc. Less of an issue then than it would be now. And then you could download this Cydia app and install it. And it gave you access to a whole bunch of other apps. There were some great games on there and great tools, and it was excellent. And my first iPhone I bought from the US and had to crack it to get it to work on the UK network, etc. And I downloaded Cydia, and I was a jailbreak freak. Every single version that came out, I would, you know, do the latest version and stuff like that. But then the App Store came out, and it became an overhead, to be honest with you, to maintain, because every time there was an iOS upgrade, you had to, you know, wait until you could crack that in order to get access to everything else. And frankly, the App Store was good, and it was a moderated environment. You know, apps had to be approved and meet certain standards and all that sort of thing. And everybody talks about the Apple walled garden and how, you know, you have to, you know, you can only do the stuff that Apple lets you do. So, well, fine, you know, if you don't like that, go to an Android. The thing was, as I saw it, Cydia had had its day. If you wanted to develop for the iPhone, just move to the App Store. You'd have a better software environment to work in, a guaranteed way of getting your income, et cetera, rather than something managed outside. And so I was quite surprised to read this, that Cydia is suing Apple, because basically they're saying that Apple needs to break its hardware to software to firmware end-to-end control in order to let other people mess around with its system, which I'm not a fan of, I have to say. I'm not a fan of.
But how is this different to, Windows went through this about pre-packaging Internet Explorer as the default browser, and they had to open that up so people had a choice which browser they can install. But I guess using the same arguments for that, where Microsoft were accused of having a monopoly, Apple not have
Yeah,
the same?
I found that a little bit bizarre as well, to be honest, because there was nothing stopping you from, I mean, let's face it, Internet Explorer, only job is to download Firefox or Chrome.
Yeah.
But I never understood why there was such a big thing about that. If you didn't like the Internet Explorer, go and download something else and make that work.
I think the issue with that was that people that weren't technical, and back then there weren't a lot of people that were technical, they would just use whatever was there as default. And
so what's wrong with that?
Well, it was the antitrust thing, the monopoly thing. So this is the exact same thing that came to my mind as well. And I've heard even now, as Microsoft adds more capabilities, so say now they have the Windows Defender, and that's there by default and everything. So you could make the same argument for antivirus vendors, it's anti-monopoly kind of thing or what have you. But that's something different because people that are security conscious, they can take it off and install whatever they want and then have all the issues with the upgrades and what have you. I think what is different with the Apple case, and I think you rightly pointed it out, Tom, is that Apple own the hardware, the firmware, the software.
Yeah.
They even make their own chips now. So it's basically that's what the value is. When you think about Apple, that's the value. Individually, everything is a commodity, but it's when it's integrated together, that's the real value, and that's the value of the business.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are a lot of flaws with the app store. How it works and how it compensates people that create stuff for it. I mean, that's never going to be solved, at least in the near future. But there was a lot of pushback, and so they recently changed some of their percentage. I think if you're earning less than a million revenue,
it's then 15% rather than 30.
Exactly. I mean, I still don't think that's completely the right
really
model, but it's a good step. But
I find that incredible. I just, you're being provided this platform for free. You just have to invest in your people and your skills, and you've got your own marketing and distribution channel straight away. You don't even have to build one.
There is a lot of value in it, but there are a lot of issues there as well. And we can go into that in something more in depth. But just on this thing, I think it. I do agree with you, Tom, that I think this is a case of sour grapes for Cydia.
Yeah.
And why wait so long to rise from the ashes and decide to sue Apple? It's like being a fantastic CD producer and saying, oh, digital music has ruined us, let's sue Apple. Well, no, you're just meant to get ahead with the times.
Or pivot to Android. There's your platform.
Yeah.
There's your open source platform that allows you to download, as many viruses and malware and ransomware as you want onto your phone. Crack on.
That's it.
Not that I have, I'm biased in the slightest, but yeah, I find, people would complain about the rope that they're hung with sometimes. I just find it amazing the amount, as you say, the sour grapes, but also just the amount of complaining. You mean I have to pay to live in this house? You mean I have to pay for this food to stay alive? It's like, well, unfortunately, that's the way life is. This is not a fundamental human right of access to somebody else's source code, as it were. So I don't know.
Cydia sour grapes, or have they just seen an opportunity because of antitrust laws?
Yeah. They could be that, absolutely.
And yeah, so, well, hey,
well,
know,
people
Apple
sue Apple for at the drop of a hat, right?
Yeah, you know, of course. Why wouldn't you? They've got money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which is all part of the you know, the American
litigation.
You know, we can sue anybody we want, even if it's an entirely invalid case.
It's like the Seventh Amendment or something, isn't it? It's, yeah, that's right. Sue thy neighbour.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The one after Armin Bears.
Yeah.
My favourite one was is like those memes you see, like where people, they're in like a Walmart and there's like a puddle of water on the floor and there's no wet floor yeah. slide. Hallelujah, all my prayers have come true. Yeah.
About to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one of the guys, it's a Walmart, the sign's broken outside and one of the letters is hanging off and he's sort of sitting underneath it.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's yeah. right.
My brother's about to get paid out here.
Anyway, yes, I think we interestingly we tend to align with Apple on this one, all of us, which is
and each other. That's even more scary.
And each other, yeah. What the hell's going on?
I mean, I'm trying to think of a reason to argue it, but I do think it's a frivolous case.
Yeah, I mean, we could just argue for the sake of arguing with Tom, though. I mean,
yeah. Well, you do that off air anyway. So
you're such a fanboy, Tom. Can't you see the monopoly that Apple have?
Yeah. Yes, and I love it.
Rant of the week.
Oh dear. So, shall we do look back on the year or the little people first?
Let's do the little people before we look back on the year. I think we can end on the year.
Okay. Okay, so this you think you've got a little people, do you, Jeff?
I do have a little person. Okay. I had to look for this person far and wide, but I immediately found someone. He's new to the where he wants to break into the cybersecurity industry. So this is a proper little person who's not even on the register on the radar yet. And I went to him and I said, like, you know, why do you want to become into security? What inspires you? And what are you looking forward to next year?
The Little People.
Hello, my name is Johnny, and I'm a little person because I'm a little person that works in hacking and cyber, and because I want to grow up and be a cyber person. And I listen to the Host Unknown podcast because it is so, so good. It is like the best podcast in the whole wide world. I really like what all the stories are, and I really like the presenters, but my favourite has to be Jav. He is so good. He is brilliant. He is my favourite in the world. And the other two, I think, are absolutely rubbish. They're just useless. You could replace them with a plank of wood, and it wouldn't make any difference. Anyway, keep up the good work, Jav, and, you know, stay secure, my friends.
The Little People.
Seriously, Jav?
So I have questions.
Seriously, Jav?
I think we can leave it.
You have one job.
When a person's not there to defend themselves, we can't throw.
You have one job, which you struggle with every week, in fairness. You know, I think this is what, episode 35, and I can tell you we've done 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 16, 17. We've done 19, so barely half of them have had little people in it, one of which is you.
What? No, sounds nothing like me. Nothing. I wouldn't say anything like that.
Holy, I am so glad we didn't finish on this.
Yeah, that would have been a letdown.
Oh my God. and not only does he, you know, pretend to be someone else, he gets the facts wrong.
What? That you two are useless, I think that's absolutely right. I agree.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Right. Okay, so we don't we don't have a jingle.
Stop being rubbish like a plank of wood and carry on.
Okay, okay. All right. So in which case, shall we run the jingle for a look back on the year?
Yeah. Do you know what we should do is have the Oasis and just play that chorus part where it says, don't look back in
okay, anger. How about let's do it this way. Look back on the year. There we go. How's that?
Quality.
I think that was good. Right, let's go.
So we started the year with January, as it normally
as
does.
Most years do.
So it did start to be a good year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to Oslo in January.
I know. Nice. At that time, the Ice Cube memes were still rolling. It was a good day. But Travelex, it wasn't a good day for them. They were pulled offline following a malware infection. Not just malware, it was ransomware. The company itself and businesses using the platform to provide currency exchange services were all affected. I'd like to say there was a happy ending to this. Unfortunately, there wasn't, because they went on, and once they did recover services, the pandemic hit. And so they actually filed for bankruptcy a few months later. Or liquidated.
Spoilers, Jav, it's January. The pandemic hasn't hit yet.
Yeah, further on down the line. Okay. But it all started off in December, actually. But okay, in January, the services were offline. So that was January.
Okay, that's, we're going to have to be quicker than this because we've only got 3 minutes left.
Well, that's a tough way to start the year, wasn't it? So in February, Estee Lauder suffered a data breach at the hands of cyber criminals, which resulted in the exposure of 440 million records. And so the data breach exposed internal emails, and they always give out the line with no evidence that customer records or payment details were at risk.
So what the hell was lost then?
Well, good question.
Pictures of their models.
There are millions of records pertaining to middleware that is used by the Estee Lauder company. So this includes the brands such as Clinique and MAC as well in the US. So
that's a lot of stuff. Oh, anyway, okay.
Yeah. So this was February. Again, still things were, I think at this time of the year we're sort of saying, hey, Korea doesn't look like it's in a good place.
No, that's right. And in fact, a couple of companies pulled out of RSA that year as well, didn't they?
RSA still went ahead, didn't it, in San Fran?
Well, Jav and I were there. We took Coast Unknown on the road.
I was in Peru, unfortunately, in February.
That's right, eating marmalade sandwiches.
Yes.
Actually drinking coffee for the first time as well.
You said that you've only started drinking coffee this. Anyway, sorry. Let's get back on track, shall we?
Something else in Peru that I can't remember quite. Can't put my finger on what was there.
Paddington Bear. You're thinking of Colombia. So March, the start of the lockdown. Marriott, the hotel chain, suffered a cyber attack in which email accounts were infiltrated. 5.2 million hotel guests were impacted.
Again. And do we know what the delta is between the previous breach that they had and this breach? Because if you recall, Marriott, after they acquired Starwood Hotels, they had actually acquired a company that had already been compromised.
And do you know what? I think that's a really good question, Andy. But, Jav, go on to April.
April. Nintendo said that 160,000 users were impacted by a mass account hijacking account caused by the NNID legacy logon system. Legacy logon system, strike again, and I'm sure all those 160,000 users can find their details in Have I Been Pwned?
I'm sure they can. So May, the budget airline EasyJet revealed a data breach exposing data belonging to 9 million customers, which did include financial records. But let's be honest,
were jokes on the criminals because exactly. These are poor people.
I was about to say, you picked the wrong airline to say that.
They're all prepaid credit cards, mate. You got another one, Andy?
So this is about Blackboard, the cloud service provider that was hit by ransomware, who hijacked all its systems. And this company actually paid the ransom to stop client data. We covered this because they only announced it later in the year. Was it around this time? They announced it quite late. But they sort of made themselves out to be the heroes by paying the ransom. Whereas I think all their impacted clients just wanted them to do security right in the first place.
Yeah.
I think, Jav, you also missed something from April, which was Host Unknown start their podcast.
Oh,
no,
yes.
Continue their podcast.
Continue, yes. After the mid-season break that lasted 2 years.
Hiatus. Exactly.
Okay, June, University of California, San Francisco, paid a $1.14 million ransom to hackers in order to save COVID-19 research. Bastard.
Yeah, well, a lot of good that money is now that Americans saying, we don't want the vaccine.
Yeah. And they still haven't got it anyway.
No,
it's just been approved. It's just been approved, I think, breaking news this morning. It was overnight for us in the UK. Yeah. It was.
God, I tell you what, Operation Warp Speed has made sure they got right to the front of the queue on that.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that everyone else has approved it. Yeah, so Canada approved it yesterday. Canada approved it on Wednesday. So
And I think the Americans have just sort of like looked around and gone, oh, fuck it, yeah.
It might as well, everyone else says.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? Nobody's taking it.
July, MGM Resorts. A hacker put the records of 142 million MGM guests online for sale. Lovely.
Crazy. You can't stay anywhere without having your details stolen. And the check-in agents are so insistent on taking photos, you know, scans of your passport, print your card. It's just frustrating that they take all this information and can't even protect it.
Yeah.
So July, we're still feeling good about the lockdown now. We're coming out the other side of it, looking bright to the future. It's nice and sunny in the UK. A company called Experian.
In August,
a company called Experian, and this relates to their South African branch. They disclosed a data breach which impacted 24 million customers. Looking into the detail of this data broking company. So despite it being about a data breach, this wasn't actually a cybersecurity incident. This looks to be a KYC failing. I know your customer.
Not a bargain bucket. I can feed the family for $9.99.
So it looks like they also managed to get the data back. They tracked down the person responsible, took the data back, and it looks like that person's intention was to mass mail.
They took it back. How do they know they didn't make a copy?
They took everything from the house and
the cloud.
The South African police don't mess around, Tom.
They took his fingers as well.
Yeah. This man's been incentivized never to touch a computer again. Chopped his hands off at the wrist.
On that lovely note, September, NS8, the CEO of the cyber fraud startup, was accused of defrauding investors out of $123 million.
Oh, this was a great... I think we covered this as a Billy Big Ball story at one point. This was the CEO that wouldn't let his finance team look at the bank accounts.
Right, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Jav.
Oh, it's me.
God damn.
Sorry. Hold on. October, Dickies. The US barbecue restaurant chain suffered a point-of-sale attack between July and August. 3 million customers had their card details later posted online.
Do you know what? I think the devil's in the detail here. Between July 2019 and August 2020.
Oh, I didn't. Wow. Okay.
Not just a month, but 13 months.
And here's me thinking, oh, they picked it up quick.
Well, this is, what's the average detection time is like 200 days or something, isn't it?
So it's 6 months, roughly, something like that. Yeah. I mean, it changes all the time, and it depends on who you know.
Yeah, which story you look at, which article.
Yeah, who's
sponsoring it.
Exactly.
Yeah. As soon as they deploy the ransomware, we detect it.
Yeah.
Which leads us nicely into November. And this is one where a fake Zoom invite cripples an Aussie hedge fund with an $8 million hit. And this was a story we covered last month from Jav about the Sydney hedge fund that collapsed after a cyber attack triggered by a fake Zoom invite, which saw its trustee mistakenly approve an $8.7 million fraudulent invoice. And the company, although they managed to claw back a lot of the money, they then lost some of their biggest clients as a result of this and ended up going down.
A very rare case of actually a cyber attack resulting in the company going out of business.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all the time.
No. And I think so you might be able to attribute some of Travelex's downfall to the ransomware attack, but this is like a very clear cut and dry case of phishing attack, credentials leaked, BC, and company collapse. Yeah. I think it's something that, you know, we should look at a lot more carefully in the future. I think, you know, we might see a bit more of these kinds of things happening, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and December. And, oh, look, we're recycling some news here. So FireEye disclosed a cyber attack suspected to be the work of a nation-state group, Russia. The cybersecurity firm said the hack resulted in penetration tools being stolen. And FireEye were very, very good about this. And as we mentioned earlier, I think everybody that counts anyway in the industry has been very supportive and encouraging of FireEye, both in what happened to them and, more importantly, what they did afterwards. And that was our look back on a year.
I definitely think we should insert the "don't look back in anger."
Yeah.
I ain't got time for that shit. I've got a day job.
Oh, now he has a day job. Yeah.
Right, folks, we are at time. Thank you very much.
Just end on one positive story, which I did see this week, and that is the news that Microsoft has disclosed the fewest vulnerabilities in a month since January.
Ah, the story that you've marked as a backup topic rather than an ending.
It is. Well, I just thought let's start with something a bit positive. Either they've missed a whole load of vulnerabilities that aren't going to get patched over Christmas.
Quite possible.
Or they did only just release 58 patches for 58 vulnerabilities across its suite of products.
Is that good news, or is that just Microsoft doing their job?
I think it's good news.
Who knows?
Just look, the glass is half full. Okay, let's go out on a high.
Let's fill it up again as well in that case.
Yeah. Let's just muddle our audience up just as much as we are before we sign off.
Indeed. Thank you very much, folks. We are taking a break. We will be back on the 8th of January, Friday the 8th of January, 1 week exactly after the New Year's Day. We will be back with basically exactly the same stuff, to be honest with you. Nothing's going to change. I very much doubt we'll update any jingles or anything like that. Andy, thank you very much for your time today.
So we've told Tom that we'll be back on the 8th of January. If you hit that subscribe button on the podcast program that you're using, you may hear from myself and Jav over the Christmas period. But have a great Christmas and stay secure, my friends.
Yeah, that's right. And but the Andy and Jav show will be only available to Patreon subscribers. So, put some money in that virtual can we're rattling in front of you.
Virtual panhandling,
my friends.
Or just go to the Host Unknown website and you can donate there. Folks, stay secure.
Host Unknown, the podcast, was written, performed, and produced by Andrew Agnes, Javad Malik, and Tom Langford. Copyright 2015, or something like that. Insert legal agreement here as applicable and binding in your country of residence. We thank you.
You know, I'd be worried if I didn't know basically how lazy both of you are.
What are you talking about?
Challenge accepted. You know, 2020 has been one of those years. Every night, and I think this was a tweet as well, but it just embodies me so much. Every night I go to sleep thinking tomorrow's going to be different. I'm going to get up on time. I'm going to work out. I'm going to be productive. And that's been the case of the whole year.
And nothing's changed.
No.
I'm going to learn a new language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Order the Aramaic books off Amazon. And, still not opened them.
Oh, dude.